Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Neil Chopra. He is the author of Perpetual Patterns. It's a book talking about the patterns of people's lives. If you'd like to speak to Neil, please give him a call at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room, and I'll read it on the air. Well, Neil, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself, where you're from, and then we'll segue. The next question is going to talk about how did you come to write this book.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Northern California. I went to Berkeley and studied computer science, and my previous job for about 5.5 years was at Blizzard Entertainment, a video game company in Southern California. I really enjoyed that work. Over the past, 10 years of my life, my focus has been on computer science. It's been my passion. But what I've also been doing is really thinking through my own philosophy of life and understanding, what people's behaviors are, what my own behavior is. So recently, over the past few months, I've been writing, and that turned into my first book, just to kind of get these ideas off of my chest. I kept writing, and it eventually took form of a book. So now I'm back in Northern California, focusing on this. This book is entitled Perpetual Patterns. It's based off of patterns that I've observed in my own and other people's behavior. It's a short book. It's about 100 pages. It's broken down into 27 chapters, 27 patterns. Each chapter is very short. I wanted to approach it in a way where everything was briefly talked about. Within a couple minutes of reading one of these patterns, you can kind of see if you're falling into it just as I have maybe fallen into it. So I've self-published the book, kind of approached it as a do-it-yourself project, and now I'm just trying to get word out, seeing who might be interested in this type of work, and that's kind of what I'm up to now.
Wow. Now talking about the book, I mean, it is mainly, how did you come to write the book?
Well, I've always enjoyed writing, and not like in an official capacity, but even through my email communication and everything like that, I always took pride in really paying attention to the details of how I was communicating an idea, and making sure that every word counted, and I was being as brief as possible, and everything like that. So I've always enjoyed reading and writing in that respect. And it kind of got to the point for me where I had all these thoughts kind of running through my mind, and I didn't have a release for them. So it was out of just kind of necessity. The first couple chapters were, I have to mention this in the introduction, I was actually getting really angry about things, and I felt writing it down really helped me. It kind of released it from my head, and I got those thoughts down on paper. So that was kind of the start of it, where I just felt I needed to start writing it down, and then I just kept writing it. It really flowed. The spigot kind of opened after that, and I just kept going until I could kind of structure this book in a way where each chapter was distinct enough from each other, and then to a point where, there wasn't anything more to add to it. Then I went ahead and wanted to go forward with self-publishing it at that point.
Wow. So when we were talking just before we went on the air about patterns, and I'm a music major, and we have patterns in theory, and you have the same patterns in computer science, that everything, the foundation of life is really a pattern. We look at the DNA, and I forget what that's called on your website, the DNA molecule.
Yeah.
And it has a pattern. So everything that we have, our makeup of our bodies, makeup of the universe, everything has a pattern, and it flows in a particular pattern. Every time we listen to a piece of music, it always have a pattern, and it builds on one another. Same thing as language and computer science. When you love writing so much, did you see yourself as you go through this, you are developing a pattern, or did you have this whole thing in your head, and you know how you're going to begin it, how the middle is going to be, and how you're going to end it? Or did you just stuck to a pattern, and this is how you progress? Hey, I start with a cell. The cell will grow into a tissue, and so forth, tissue, an organ, and so forth. Did you build it that way, or you had the whole picture in your head and then built it?
That's a really good question. I'll kind of start by mentioning that I really love poetry, and what I like about poetry is it's a constraint. You know, if you constrain yourself, if you say, like, I have to write these few lines, and they have to rhyme, and they have to be structured a way, and you can put those thoughts within that constraint, then I feel you've found a better way to grapple it. So the book itself kind of, like you mentioned, you know, you started with this cell. So I started with this template of what I wanted a chapter to be. So I wrote a couple chapters, and I liked that template, the idea of it started with a poem. The way the book is, each chapter is structured, is there's a poem to kind of creatively express the idea, then a few paragraphs to talk about the actual pattern, and then some questions at the end. So once I did this for the first two of them, there was a constraint for the rest of the book that I was able to express my ideas through. So I definitely think, you know, same with programming, you have a set of tools available to you. I didn't approach any of the book as kind of free-form sort of thing. I knew each chapter should be able to stand on its own, and, you know, you should be able to read them in whatever order you like, that sort of thing. So that constraint from the beginning gave me a nice template to go off of where I could kind of just brain dump all of these thoughts that were running through my mind.
Wow. So when you think about this particular pattern and you notice in the pattern of our lives, the way we do things, when you went through that pattern from the academicram and went to kind of the philosophy of life, was that a easy comparison to, because you have to actually watch people, or did you actually take your own experiences in order to write the book?
That's a good question. I think it's part of both. I can't say that I've fallen into every single one of the patterns. What I mentioned in the introduction is I'm a quiet person, actually. I'm a very introverted person, and what I like about that is I spend all my time observing people. Like, I really enjoy, whether it's, you know, in school, observing classmates or coworkers, or just going out. I really like to see how people react to things. I like to see how people interact with each other. So it's been a lot of observation as well in absorbing everything around me. I like to, one of the patterns in this in the book is called blindness. And the tagline of it is be aware. And it's kind of trying to absorb, you know, you may have a goal that you're focusing on, but you can still absorb all of your surroundings. So some of the stuff in here is personal. It may have come from personal experience, but it was also picking up on other things people were saying, other things people were doing. None of the chapters actually have any anecdotes from my life or anything like that. They're all kind of set up to approach the subject logically and you know, lay out an argument of my opinion very cleanly without needing to, you know, talk about current events or anything like that. What I would like the book to be able to do is I want it to last. You know, whether you read it 50 years ago or 50 years from now, you should be able to still look at the text and it should still be applicable. So the writing of it is agnostic of these observations, but certainly it was fueled by my own experiences and what I observed in other people.
Do you think the book talks to me is an out-of-the-box experience or an inside-the-box experience, if that makes sense?
Can you explain that a little bit more?
Out-of-the-box thinking would be kind of extraordinary, mean that, hey, this is the pattern I have, and I'm going to stay within these realms of this particular box. Outside the box would say, no, I'm just going to go outside this box, and I'm going to go outside of traditional thinking, and I'm going to think beyond that and create something differently. If that makes sense?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if
you, I mean, I,
yeah, because in traditional school, we have a box that we play with, and
yes,
that's how academia works. We don't go outside the box. This is how you do things, A, B, C, D. This is how you market.
Yeah.
And people who's not exposed to that, or some people who think outside the box, hey, I'm going to go through the internet and market and so forth.
Mm-hmm. No, I think. Well, first of all, like the way this book was written, it was definitely I didn't want to follow someone else's template. Like I wanted to go down the path that was natural for me. And like I mentioned, just out of necessity of writing, it kind of came out in a way where there was poetry, there was text or explanation, and there were questions. And I haven't really seen anything like that out there yet. And you know, very brief chapters that hit a lot of topics. So just the structure of the book, I wanted it to be unique and a different way of going about it. In terms of the self-publishing portion of it, I don't know that I'm as good as that. I mean, the fact that I should mention I have a website up, perpatterns.com, that actually
mm-hmm.
has all the content of the book up online. The book is really important to me. It's a reflection of kind of everything that went through my mind, you know, or that has been going through my mind. So it's more important to me that people get a chance to read it freely and explore any of the content as they see fit than necessarily buy a published copy. So I don't know if I'm approaching it as well as a business. It's more of I want to build that audience of, you know, with this little that I have written, is there an impact that can be made on their life? I don't like the idea of following templates that other people may have followed. I want to kind of do my own thing and also document what I'm doing on my blog, neilanchopra.com. I've got a few articles up that explain in detail how I went about self-publishing it, going through CreateSpace for the paperback, going through the Kindle version and stuff like that, and like everything from to beginning, or from beginning to end, and all that information is up there if other people find that they would like to kind of try what I'm doing as well.
Well, you know, you have a powerful passage, and I just picked one at random from Darkness.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
you say here, which is really profound, you cannot control what you think. You can control what you do, which
yes.
is so true in life as a pattern. You know, we have thoughts that run through our head all the time, but
yes.
we can't control that. Literally, we can't. That's who we are as human beings. However, we can control what we do. It's like your actions. And
yes.
it's really profound. How did you think of writing something like that? And I mean, you have a lot of awesome chapters here, 27 of them. In that particular line, how does that speak to you when you wrote that? What did you think about?
Well, that's something I've always, that's actually, Darkness is one of the last chapters in the book, and it's one of the more important ones, I think, and one that I don't think people talk about too much. You know, in self-help, there's a lot of self-help stuff in this book, but the notion of letting your mind wander where it will, and even if it's to bad things, you know, where you've got bad thoughts going through your mind, or you're, you know, watching movies or listening to music that may be a bad influence on you, in the end, it's your own actions that actually matter. And that was really important to me. And I think with some of these taglines of, you know, these quotes in the book, I'd like to hopefully find some sort of succinct, poetic kind of way of saying it. And I like that particular line as well. I think it's important to, the reason I call that chapter Darkness is like, even when looking at these patterns, I myself fall into them as well. And the way to go about it, to combat that, is not to try to eliminate it from your mind. It's not to try to push it out of your head, but accept the fact that you're naturally going to want to do these things. And then once you grapple with these thoughts, and those thoughts are there, but you've trained yourself to not allow them affect your actions. In the end, you make a choice of what you want to do. And even if your mind is wandering to some place you don't want it to go, that still doesn't have any bearing on what you do.
Absolutely. What we're going to do is going to take a break real quick, and I'm going to ask you, if possible, I think towards the end, to read a passage out of the book that really speaks to who you are.
Sure.
Or that you have really passion about. So
sure.
Let's take a break real quick. Again, Perpetual Patterns with Anil Chopra. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Again, Perpetual Patterns with Anil Chopra. Anil, I guess we would come back to you, and I guess just dive into one of the passages or chapters that you're really passionate about, that you want to share.
Sure, yeah. So the second-to-last chapter, so just to explain how it ends, kind of, the final chapter is entitled Reciprocity, which is kind of the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The one before that is called Recognition, and there are several chapters in the book that lead up to Recognition, and I feel this is the most important one, and I put it at the end for that reason. So maybe I'll just start with just the beginning paragraph of Recognition. So the chapter starts, do it for yourself. If nobody is looking, if nobody is aware of who you are or what you are doing, what exactly will you do? If nobody is there to give you accolades or give you encouragement or fire you up with criticism or hand you a reward, with what resolve will you get it done? Every second you wait for recognition is a second wasted. Welcome it when it comes, but have a clear path going forward without it. The only person you ever have to prove something to is yourself. And the reason I put that chapter at the end is being recognized for something is in the control of other people, I feel. Kind of like, you know, we just spoke about darkness, where you can't control your own thoughts, but you can control your own actions. That's kind of a matter of focusing on yourself, but recognition is also erroneously putting the focus on how other people react or how other people look at your work or what you do. So I think a big part of this book is that you can only be in control of what you do yourself, and you shouldn't be reliant upon other people giving you reward or giving you payment or these kinds of things. In the end, you need to find motivation on your own to get things done that you want to get done.
Wow. this is not a typical philosophy book. How does this differ?
Well, so some of the philosophy books I've read before are very academic. You know, they're very they're difficult to get through. They're almost like math books where they you know posit something and they have a very confusing way of approaching an idea, and they have to logically like prove what they're saying. This is not that. I say that these are my philosophies, but my hope is I'm expressing them in a way that's easy to read, that has some creative aspect to the poetry, that has some reflective aspect to the questions. It's a little bit dense. It's 100 pages, and you know, it's not a quick read. But my hope is, as you go through the chapters, you have this aha moment of, you know, wow, this is actually something I've been going through myself, and that it's not too difficult to make your way through it. You know, that it's not confusing, that it's said in a way that can resonate with you easily.
Okay. And do you consider that perpetual path is to be like a bad thing in one sense?
Yeah, so kind of all of the ones I mentioned in the book have some negative aspect to them.
Okay.
You know, some of the names that I use on here, you know, like drama, capitulation, desertion, obedience. Like I kind of approach all of these words as negative words. They're kind of negative things that you're falling into, negative ideas. There are a couple in there that are like discovery in the beginning. Discovery is a good thing. Reciprocity at the end, that's also a good thing. So there are some good aspects to these patterns that are also mentioned in the book. And even in the negative titles, there may be, you know, a paragraph or two that discuss kind of things that are good as well. But in the end, my hope is I'm shining light on what might be negatively affecting you as you go through your day-to-day life.
Wow. When we talked about earlier, top of the hour, regarding the poetry in the book and your blog, when you wrote your blogs, did you take part of your blogs and you formulate all 27 ideas, or how did that flow to you? Because that's, you have a statement first, and then you actually go in detail. When you start that pattern, how did you come up with all 27?
Well, I basically, my process was, I would have some idea in my head, and sometimes that idea was already covered with the chapter I'd written, and if it wasn't covered, then I would try to think of a word that described what I was thinking, and then make a pattern out of it. And this came from various things, like, you know, I might see something. I remember I started the chapter on superiority after seeing something on a television show. You know, it just kind of sparked the idea. The idea had been in my head, but it sparked that it should be a chapter on its own. I have a chapter on obscurity, and that really was just a paragraph within the chapter on privacy, but I felt it should be split out into its own. So it kind of, there are overlap between these patterns, but I kept extracting one from the other and figuring out, trying to find that balance of am I repeating myself? Am I saying something that has already been said in another chapter? Or is there enough unique being said about this pattern that warrants it being on its own? So I kind of just went through a natural process of going through all these thoughts that had been in my head and seeing where they properly fit within them. So I certainly didn't have all 27 mapped out in the beginning. I started with maybe 2 to 4 that I started out with, and then just kept writing until I felt like I had said what I wanted to say and I wasn't repeating myself anymore.
Okay. And when it came to new forms of creative expression, how do you encourage people to find their own creative expressions?
I don't know what, you know, I think find out what you enjoy. Like I'm a huge listener to music. I love like having a really close attention to the lyrics, you know, memorizing those, understanding the rhythm between them. You mentioned music as well. I think what prepared me for attempting the poetry was several years of just listening to music and really understanding it. I think when you attempt something that you enjoy, then you understand, you know, your own standard for quality for it. So maybe, and I mentioned this in the introduction, maybe there are several forms, you know, maybe it's painting or music or poetry or comedy or game design or anything like that. There are so many different ways, so many different mediums of expressing your ideas. I think the explanation should be there, you know, like the straightforward explanation of what you're trying to say should be there. But I think you hit a more profound level if you're able to do it through some creative way. Like I think of, you know, in comedy, like if you look at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert, like they're saying very profound things through comedy. Like they're able to, like, get to the truth of something by making fun of it. And I think that's even more, that's more profound than just saying it outright. If you find some way that, some clever way of putting it, some way of taking words that cause someone to, you know, laugh at it or look at it in a different way, then you can hit a point that might not otherwise be hit. So I would say, you know, for anyone who's trying to go down that path of finding somebody to do that themselves, do what you enjoy. You know, what do you like listening to? What do you like watching? And going down that path.
Okay. Back to recognition real quick. For example, let's take Microsoft. This is easy to pick from. You have the creator of the product, the pattern, and you have the enhancer, if that makes sense. So, like, for example, I forgot the name. I think it's Tim Patterson or something, who was the father of DOS. He created it, and Bill Gates enhanced it.
Uh-huh.
And listening to that pattern, do you think when you create something and the person who enhanced it, because usually the person who enhanced the product end up getting the credit and recognition, do you think that in that particular pattern itself, if it makes sense, that even if you see this pattern that's already created, then someone enhance it, is that kind of an offset of the same thing, or do you think is pretty much is all in one, if that makes it making sense? Because I'm trying to compare it to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe another good example is, you know, in the programming world, we have this notion of open source, and it means that software is free, and not only is it free, but all the source code that goes into it is totally free to view as well. So anybody who wants to take anything from it or learn something from it, they can freely do that. And what comes from that is a community of people who are helping each other, who are bringing new ideas to the table. So I don't think, like, I think it's great that someone takes what someone else did and is able to enhance it. Now, it's different if you're just copying it and trying to screw the other person over. But if you're legitimately making something better, I don't know if you're legitimately making something better, then really it doesn't matter in the end, I think. You know, you're putting something out there in the world that is able to help someone. I don't know if that kind of answers the question.
Yeah, it really does. The open source code makes a world of a difference. What do you like the people to walk away when they read your book?
I hope they kind of, you know, if you're able to get through all the chapters, you come from it looking at the world a little bit differently. And if you may not agree with all of my opinions in the book, but if I've gotten you thinking about something that you might not have thought about before, I think that's a worthwhile end in itself. So my hope is you check it out and... like I mentioned, all the text is free up on the website. So if you go to perpatterns.com and just kind of click around and explore some chapters that pique your interest, And if there's something in there that connects with your own life and resonates with you and shows you something or explains something in a way that allows you to better grapple with it and make a better choice about how you approach something negative that might be affecting you, that's what I want people to get out of it. I want them to have a better understanding of their own behavior and ways in which they can make the best out of it and make a better choice for themselves.
Okay. Any other new books in the works?
No. This is kind of just my foray into it. I don't actually consider myself someone who's going to write a lot. I would rather write very little, but it'd be, you know, powerful in its own right and have lasting ability. So my focus is on this book right now. And on my blog, I actually have ongoing poetry that I'm publishing up there if anyone is interested in that sort of thing. And I also have articles that explain my self-publishing experience. If anybody is going down that road themselves, they can check those blog posts out and see what I did and see if they can learn anything from that to start out with.
Okay. And to find your book, of course, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but also they can get the book on your website. And just give us the website address again.
Yes, it's perpatterns.com, per patterns. And you can I would say definitely start out there. Check out the chapters that I have up there, and if you enjoy it, check out one of the published versions on Amazon. Yeah, there's an ebook and a paperback as well.
Okay. Lastly, how did you pick the name Pastoral Patterns? Perpetual Patterns.
Perpetual Patterns, yeah. I knew I wanted the word patterns in there, and I had been thinking about, like, you know, universal patterns or something like that, but I liked the word perpetual because these are things, no matter how hard you try to not do these things, you're probably going to do them. That's what I found. Like I mentioned in the introduction, the story of I was really angry at something someone did, and I got so angry that I wanted to, you know, write another paragraph in a chapter on recognition out of spite. And then I read my own, I have this chapter on resentment, and I read my own bullet points about it. And I'd just written these words like a few days before, but I totally forgot them. So I myself am falling into these all the time. So I kind of consider these things that you're never going to be able to program yourself to not do them. There's things that you naturally fall into. So they're perpetual in that sense. And I like that notion of it's always ongoing. These are always going to exist, and you should be aware of them.
Wow. Well, well said. We're going to leave it with that. Thank you for coming on the book, coming on the show, talking about your book, Perpetual Patterns, with Neil Chopra. And thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care. This has been another episode of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or blog.applecapitalgroup. Thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.